Amen. That's great. Also, if anybody's interested, I know of a couple of cowhands that sharpened their skill this morning. Bid real low, and you'll pay them too much already. Anyway, if any of you got that makes no sense to people that don't know, there was four cows walking up down the road this morning, and I got to witness some good cow handling, and involved Pop Tarts, all kind of things. Anyway, we trained our cows to eat Pop Tarts here at Titus, Alabama. Only place. Man, I am excited, and it's I'm almost talking just because of the joy that I have found as I come to you this morning. I get to preach one of mine and Carmen's together most favorite blocks of text. It seems like I say that a lot, and I know that I do. I love all of God's Word, but if there was a place that just really takes me straight to the throne room of heaven, when we sing songs like "Holy, Holy, Holy is the Lamb," "Be Thou My Vision," and let me just give you a way to think through that "Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of My Heart." When we hear Scripture quoted sometimes, without vision the people perish, and we do that when we're forecasting a development or some type of ministry opportunity and all that, and yes, it does cover that, but truly and greatly our vision needs to be on God. Without a vision of God, the people will perish. They'll forget who He is. And so when we walk through Scripture, as all of you who have been here for a while know, I do verse by verse, line by line most of the time. Every now and then I'll veer from that. But walking through, when we come to a block of text like this today, I'm beside myself to get to preach it. And I believe, I want you to leave here with this in your pocket today, because it will serve you well in every moment of your life. When you think about Jesus Christ, recognizing that He is the great high priest can shift your mindset in any moment. I'll give you some examples, and our church has walked through this morning. I want to share with you, too. You need to know this. This morning, Miss Sue Cooper's sister, Brenda, passed away. I don't know if y'all know this, but it was a Sunday morning just about 4 weeks ago that Sammy passed away, her husband, for those that might not know who I'm talking about. Difficult seasons, difficult things. Right? We've had surgeries that are here. We've had all sorts of stuff. I counted last night in my office. I had today is 12 people in the last 8 weeks that have gone, that have stepped into eternity. 12 people within this church, whether it was a church family member or a church member or a family member of a church member. Did I say those right? I think so. Anyway, our church has been touched by 12 funerals in the last 8 weeks. That's a lot. That's a lot. A vision of who Christ is can give you the strength to press on. A knowledge of the greatness of Christ Jesus as our high priest can give us what we need to continue in the fight, to continue to battle on. Again, I've shared with you, it's one of mine and Carmen's favorite verses because we have to quote it to one another often. Right, we have a great high priest who is not unable to sympathize with us, but one who in every way has been tempted just as we are, yet without sin. Man, I got a high priest that's ushering me into the presence of God. He did it perfectly and on my behalf, but notwithstanding suffering and sorrow and difficulty. And he did it flawlessly. That's who I get to follow into heaven. I'm not even preaching the sermon yet, but I hope you write that down. I hope you hang on to that, that Jesus Christ is the great high priest. Now, as we continue through our letter to the Hebrews this morning, we can turn to Christ as our great high priest, just as Paul is doing here. Up to this point, there has been a balance or a revealing of Jesus as the greater Moses. It began in chapter 3, verse 1, really all throughout Hebrews, Paul is elevating the person and work of Christ above all of the heroes of the faith of the Old Testament. Remember, he's writing this letter to Hebrew believers. They would be immersed, they would be saturated with Old Testament understanding. So, up until this point, we have seen the superiority of Christ over Moses. That doesn't take away who Moses is. Don't get mad at me, okay? But Moses was to illuminate the one who was to come. He pointed to Christ. He performed priestly functions. You remember he interceded on the behalf of Israel when they had worshipped the golden calf, and he pleaded with God not to destroy them from the earth. The Lord heard his prayers and relented or turned from his anger and did not do what he had said he was going to do. Moses, however, fell short and did not lead them into eternal rest or even into the promised land. But Christ is the true and everlasting high priest, belonging not to the fragile Levitical order. Okay, so they were good and they were bad, and there was a wrestling all the way through the Levitical priestly lineage. But Christ is not of that. He's out of the order of a man that we find in Genesis chapter 12 by the name of Melchizedek. Now that probably is lost on you a little bit to this morning. We'll look at him in more picture next week. But Christ is the great high priest. He doesn't have an end or a beginning. To appreciate the beauty of the passage we're going to read today, I know this almost sounds academic, but I promise when we get to the sermon, it's going to flow a whole lot faster. I'm going to be more excited about it, so I'm asking right now that the Lord would calm me enough to deliver it to you with power. All right? But to understand the beauty of this passage, when it says, since we have a great high priest, we'll read it together in a moment, we need to recall what the role of a high priest was. Mainly, he made atonement for the sins of Israel, for the sins of God's people. He taught God's law. In other words, he's the one that was consulted, and he was able to clarify God's law. He taught it from a superior level, not only in synagogues, but more in the temple. He sought divine guidance. If you go read in Numbers chapter 3, you could encounter some words like Urim and Thummim. These are two stones that the priest would wear in his breastplate. And when a decision would have to be made on behalf of the Lord, he would consult these two kind of a heads and a tails. And if they matched one another, it was an affirmative. And if they were counter to one another, it was up in the air. And if they were heads up, it was affirmative. And if they were down, heads up sounds like we're flipping a coin. That's why the passage in the Old Testament says that every casting of the lot is in the hands of the Lord. They were given this instruction on how to settle and how to discern God's will. So they did that. They sought divine guidance. They interceded on the behalf of the nation of Israel. They guarded the sanctuary. They are what were permitted. They were the only ones that were permitted to go into the Holy of Holies, but they were the ones that permitted who could enter into the temple, into the inner sanctuary, to the holy place, not the Holy of Holies, but into the holy place. They stood guard over the door, and they anointed kings to power and authority. So a few things that you'll need to know as we go into this text for you to understand it. They made atonement for the people. They discerned the will of God. They guarded entrance into the Holy of Holies, or into the temple. They interceded for the people, and they anointed kings and governments. Just knowing that brings to mind a few of Jesus' characteristics that will be beneficial for you today as we look at this text. In recent history of the Jewish people, this sacred office had actually become politically volatile. Different groups, Pharisees or Sadducees, would petition for the role of high priest. Before it was appointed by God, it had become manipulated to be a political position. The most likely high priest in the years of this letter, his name was Ananus ben Ananus. Now, why does that matter? Well, I had to struggle last night. I studied this word to say it, and now I can't. Ananus ben Ananus is the priest that executed James the Just, the brother of Jesus. I want you to hear that again. Ananus ben Ananus, the high priest, likely at the writing of this letter, is the high priest that ordered the execution of James the Just. Now, you remember I was telling you that the Hebrew people were tempted to return to the old way because they had lost a lot of their social status. They may have lost their family, their jobs, their employment, their livelihood. They were dependent upon one another, which is the beauty of the church. But in the background of this text, the high priest of the day is the very one who executed, I want you to hear that, the brother of Jesus. So the writer of Hebrews, Paul here, is really urging them, we have a great high priest. Y'all with me? I hope you're catching what I'm saying here. The high priest that they long to return to because of the system that installed them is the very one who murdered or ordered the murder, the death of Jesus' brother, and they're tempted to go back to that. And Paul says, we have a great high priest, greater than the one that is in the temple, greater than the one who is serving right now. Oh, and by the way, after he ordered the execution of James the Just, Josephus, the historian, portrays him as harsh and unsympathetic. In other words, Jesus, the high priest, who is able to sympathize with us. You see how understanding a little bit of the context brings to the front the beauty of the passage. We have a juxtaposition of the high priest, who is a political servant seeking power in his own elevation. And on the other hand, in Christ, we have a great high priest who is one of us, yet without sin, who is able to usher us into the presence of God, just as the text is fixing to tell us, we're able to come boldly. Now, to reveal a little bit more about Ananias, when he was in power and had Rome backing him, when it was a political position that was exercising his authority, he was unsympathetic, he was a harsh Sadducean leader. Well, what happened? The zealots rose up. Guess what he became then? A politician. He was humble and kind and humanitarian toward the Christians. Why? Because his comfort was challenged. So what do we have here? Well, wishy-washiness, to use a good old we wrangled cows this morning term. He was wishy-washy. Capricious, if you want a more fancy term. He was arbitrary. Changed his mind. He shifted back and forth. Against this backdrop of Ananias being the high priest of the day, the author presents a greater high priest, one who is not harsh but sympathetic, not political but eternal, not self-interested but intercedes for his people. Our text today, Hebrews 4:14 through 16, dismantles every earthly hierarchy by showing that in Christ all believers have equal access to the throne of grace. That is great news for me and for you. You don't need a high priest. You've got the great high priest. You don't have to find your local pastor to go into the presence of God with your prayers and your struggles and help in a time of need. No, you have been given permission to enter into the Holy of Holies, to go into the throne room of mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. I have almost quoted to you all three verses of this morning. So before I run the risk of doing that, I want to ask you, if you would, in honor and reverence of reading God's word, please stand with me as we'll read just three short verses. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. New Home, I pray today you get freed up. I pray that you realize who Christ is, what he has done for you, and the blessed privilege it is to go in through the throne room of grace, or throne room of mercy, and find grace to help in a time of need. How incredible. How incredible. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 14 through the end of the chapter. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a great high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of mercy, or throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Lord, I thank you that these passages are so familiar. I thank you that they're so comforting. We don't serve a God who's unconcerned with us. We're not slave servants trying to measle our way or weasel our way in, clawing and pleading. We have a God of glory that gave his Son so that we may have the right to be called your children, that we may have access into your very throne room, that we may find grace to help in a time of need, that we may be showered over by the mercy of God. Lord, this text preaches itself. We are tempted sometimes put our faith in what's familiar. But sometimes we are shaken by the government that's in place. But then, oh Lord, I'm reminded that I have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, who has allowed me the blessed privilege to come into your throne room and find mercy and grace to help in a time of need. Lord, I have been saved, redeemed, ransomed from the fall. I have been given a crown of righteousness. No, it doesn't belong to me, but it was given to me as a gift through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. God, thank you. Lord, I thank you that the veil is torn and that we can come boldly before your throne, that we can enter into the Holy of Holies with confidence. Lord, would you be glorified today as I preach this text? Would you make yourself known? You magnify your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Even as I read that, I'm reminded of another bit of scripture that we'll close with today. The first thing I want to do is I want to admonish you, beg you, plead with you, encourage you to take hold of your confession. I'll read it again so we can get this, and I'm not following just in direct order, but since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. Let us grab it. The language there speaks of arresting or binding up. Let me bind it unto myself. Let me arrest it unto myself. Let me take it and not turn it loose with a death grip that can't be loosened. Let me hold on to the confession that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I would encourage you to do the same. This is the hope that you have for all of eternity. Grab a hold of it. Hang on. Hold fast your confession. What it is that you know to be true, that you know beyond question that Jesus Christ is your high priest. He is the Son of God. He is the Lamb of God. He's the propitiation for your sins. He is your salvation. Hold on to it. Because we don't have a great high priest like Ananias who is capricious or is wishy-washy. We don't have one that's sold out to political whims and the comfortable climate of catering to whoever has the power to wield the sword. No, we have a high priest who is great, according to Scripture. The only high priest where it says the great high priest. We have a chief priest in Matthew. They're the ones that gather together in the cloak of darkness. They're the ones who made the decision to execute Christ, or to call for his execution, rather. We have some chief priests in Scripture. But brothers and sisters, we have one great high priest. The one who is holy, holy, holy. We sang it this morning. He moved from being cut apart to being totally different, to being not at all like us. He's not drawn left or right. No, it's laser focus. He holds fast to his people as we hold fast to our confession. We have the greatest great high priest. As I told you a moment ago, one of the roles of the high priest was to teach. He is the greatest high priest because he is the greatest teacher of the law. He came in and revealed what the law was unable to do. He made us all aware of our guilt of transgression against one law, according to his brother James the Just, who Ananus had executed. His brother wrote these words, "To be guilty of one trespass is to be guilty of them all." And so Christ came in as the greatest teacher of the law. And so he didn't come to nullify it, but he came to fulfill it. And he illumined our minds to our desperate need of salvation, the very thing that the Sadducees and Pharisees, the chief priests, wanted to take him out and have him killed for. He set us free from bondage to the law, but we're slaves to righteousness, right? Like we keep the law because Christ has redeemed us, but we obey the law because it honors God. He's the greatest teacher of the law, ergo, in the role of teaching the law. He is the great high priest. He is the greatest discerner of God's will because he doesn't toss the Urim and Thummim like a priest of old. No, he knows the will of God. His truth stands and his judgments are just. We talked about it this morning in our Sunday school class. Christ was the one who could look at the Pharisees and say, "You hypocrites." He was the one that could look at them as they approached and say, "You brood of vipers." He could call them snakes. He could call them what they were because he could look past the outward appearance, their great philanthropies and their long robes, and see a heart that was wicked and dark. He's the great discerner, greater than any high priest of old. Therefore, he's the greatest high priest when it comes to his discernment. He's the greatest intercessor mediating between God and man. He is the divine Son, co-equal with the Father, just as our confession of faith says. He's not some great teacher. He's not some man that walked and eventually ascribed to or sailed to the place of God. He is God in the flesh, living amongst man, interceding for us before the Father that we may find comfort in him. The high priest was an intercessor on behalf of Israel. He was flawed. He had to make atonement for his own sin before he could go into the Holy of Holies, or before he could operate in his capacity on the behalf of others. Christ, not so. Not so. He was able to enter into the presence of God on behalf of his people. He's our intercessor. He's seated at the right hand of God right now making intercession for us. He's the one mediator between God and man. He is the great high priest. He hadn't caught on today's messages. He's the great high priest. He is the administrator of the sanctuary of God. I told you that the Old Testament high priest had the administration of the temple. He could control who came in. He declared who was worthy and who was unworthy. Jesus is the great high priest because he is the administrator of the sanctuary of God. He said it about himself. I am the door. I am the gate. You know he also is? He's the shepherd that leads you through it. He's the great high priest. He said there's no other way into heaven but by me. You can't kick that door open. You can't rush the Holy of Holies. Christ is the administrator of the sanctuary of God. Told you that the high priest of the Old Testament anointed kings. Jesus is a greater high priest because he appoints places every government in the world to execute his will according to his good pleasure. Our government is established by God. I told you a couple of weeks ago, that's hard to hear because not all of them are good. But I can take you to the Old Testament and walk you through the books of the kings, and you'll see that not all of them were good. But God was working out his redemptive plan for his people all along. Not one of them got to a place of authority without him seeing it. Just as the high priest of the Old Testament would appoint or anoint the king, Jesus Christ stands, rules, and reigns over every government in the world. Why? Because he's the King of kings and he's the Lord of lords. Scripture says of his government there shall be no end. Romans 13 would explain to you how he appoints the governments to wield the sword, not in vain, but for righteousness, according to his good pleasure. He appoints the governments, yet he is the king. Scripture goes on to tell us that he has passed through the heavens. The way for us to understand that is he has passed through and entered into the heaven of heavens. We look up, we see the sun, the stars, and the moon, and we think of heaven. No, he has passed through that heaven into the heavens. In other words, beyond some celestial environment, but into the very throne room of God. He has passed through the heavens of heaven. He is beyond the sun. He's beyond the stars. He's entered into the heavens of heavens, a place where God dwells in inapproachable light. He's taken us all the way into the presence of God. The high priest was able to enter into the Holy of Holies, according to Exodus chapter 20, for my note takers, only after he had made atonement for his own sins. Yet Christ entered into heaven after making atonement for the sins of his people. That's why we can go. He's pure. He's unblemished. He's the great high priest. He doesn't tell us how to get there. He leads us in because under his own authority and in his own purity, he's able to do just that. He's not making atonement for his sins, but he's making atonement for the sins of those who will believe in him. Listen, the Son of God is my high priest. No man will do, regardless of his title. When I meet with people who are Catholic and trying to understand the whole confession and all of these things, going to the priest and confessing and confessing our sins to receive forgiveness, listen, I don't need any of those guys. I have the great high priest. He's gone through the heavens into heaven. He's in the throne room of God. He's interceding for me. And by his death, the veil has been torn. I can come right to God and confess my sins to him and be washed clean without any type of activity on my behalf other than to just confess my sins, because the scripture says that God is faithful and just to forgive me of those sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I don't have to appeal to a saint. I don't have to ask for the veneration of Mary. No, I go right into the throne room of God and talk to my Father, and I confess my sins, and he looks down upon me. He raises my head out of shame, and he calls me his son. He kills the fatted calf. He brings me home. He puts a robe on my back and a ring on my finger. It's no longer up in the air. I know where I'm going. You could know that too, because he's the great high priest. He's for you. He didn't come to be served, but to serve. He didn't seek a political position. He's the King of kings. He said, all who come to me, I will in no way cast out. He is my high priest. No man will do. I don't care the title. You don't need me to pray for you. I want to. I want to know your hurts. I want to bear your burdens. I want to weep when you weep. I want to rejoice when you rejoice. This morning, my heart is heavy for Miss Sue. In a couple of weeks, she's gone through two Sunday mornings. Instead of it being a blessed day to gather with the Savior, it's a harbinger of bad news. But here's what I know. My high priest and the high priest of all who know Jesus Christ has suffered like we have. He's known weakness. He's known hurt. He's known sorrow. He's known the abandonment of God, so we don't have to. And he did it all without sin. Oh, I wish I could tell you who he is.
But if you don't know him, I'm a clanging gong and a noisy cymbal. But oh, when the veil is torn and the veil over your eyes is lifted and you have a vision of who God is and the Savior, his Son, Jesus Christ, these things become temporary and your hope becomes eternal. Do you know him? Do you know him? The scriptures say, better yet, Christ himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You notice he didn't mention Ananias or any other high priest. They had a role in the Old Testament, but the greater has come, Jesus, the Son of God, who has passed through the heavens. Hold on to your confession of faith, your profession that Christ is Lord. Hold on to it, arrest it, apprehend it, grab a hold, claw, dig your fingers in like the person that's called to repentance but is afraid to leave the pew. Grip it, hold it, hang on. He'll take you all the way to glory. I don't need a high priest. I've got one in heaven. And you know what else? My priest is my victor. Our priest is our victor. Christ has no cold, aristocratic, Sadducee guarding power from a distance. He is a compassionate Savior who entered our suffering and understands our weaknesses. He's not highbrowed towards sinners. No, he's a friend of sinners. A bruised reed he doesn't break. A smoldering wick he doesn't quench out. No, he lifts your face. He raises your countenance. He gives you a view and a vision of God of glory standing there. He leads us into the presence of God in confidence. We don't have to cower behind anything. Yes, fear the Lord. Respect him, honor him, love him. Yes, but you don't have to hide from him. He already knows. And by the power of Jesus Christ, you can be reconciled. His blood washes away our sins. He stands in sinless solidarity with his people. What is that? He's in solidarity. He's with us, standing right alongside us, yet he's in sinless solidarity in the fact that he never was desirous of evil. He was tempted in every way. Go to Matthew chapter 4. He was offered food after a 40-day fast when he was hungry. His answer was, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He was offered health and protection. Cast yourself down from this mountain, and God will lift you up with his angels, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Christ responded, you should not put the Lord your God to the test. All of these things. He was given the opportunity to have the power to rule the world. Satan didn't understand. He already had it all, but he offered it to him. He took him up on a high mountain. He said, look at all of this. I'll give you every bit of it if you'll only bow the knee to me. He said, get behind me, Satan. Worship God alone, and him only shall you serve. That's our high priest. He was tempted with everything that tempts us, and yet he did it gracefully and without sin. In every trial, he had no desire for evil. His will was to accomplish all that the Father had sent him to do, and that included death on a cross for sins that weren't his. The penal punishment for crimes committed against a holy God when he had not committed any one of them. He had known the Father perfectly throughout all eternity before the foundations of the earth. He understood the righteousness of God, and he obeyed every word, every command that was ever written. He was tempted with all of the things that the world has to offer, and he rejected all of them because he came to solely do the will of the Father. But he was crucified so that his people could enter into the Holy of Holies, that we could be right with God. When the high priest of the day is longing for every one of these things, Ananias, Christ longs for the glory of God to be revealed and salvation to be purchased for those he loves. He's the great high priest.
brothers and sisters, according to this passage today, we have been given access to God. I've already declared it to you for the last however long you've been listening to me. He's opened the door. He is the door. As Christ bore our sins upon the cross, as a life left his body, our great high priest said, "It is finished. It's completed. The atonement has been made. The lamb had been slaughtered and the blood had been spilt." Remember I told you the annual responsibility of the priest, the high priest, was to make atonement for the sins. He had to do them for himself year after year after year. Not our high priest. His blood is sufficient to cover all our sins. He was the once and for all. He was the completion of the work. He was the consummation of God's decrees. And he is my hope for eternity. He cried out, "It is finished." As he gave up his spirit, the scriptures say that the earth shook. The sky went black. And the veil was ripped from top to bottom. The veil that separated the most holy, the holy of holies, was rent in two. Exposed now, we can go into the throne room of God. We were given access to the throne room. Why not go in? Why not go in? Why still try under your own strength to appease God's wrath by doing good or being better than your neighbor or being just a little bit advanced of the murderer on death row? Listen, you're a wicked, wretched sinner just like he is in need of a glorious Savior. And by faith in Christ, you receive a Savior and you have the great high priest who is seated at the right hand of God making intercession for us. Listen, we can go with confidence before the throne of God and find mercy and grace to help us in a time of need. Your heart is broken. Cry out to God. You're heavy laden. Go to Christ and he'll give you rest. You're dead in your trespasses and sin. Call out for the mercy of God with confidence. We can draw near to the throne of grace, the place where the King of grace, the one who meets it out, meters it out, gives it out as he sees fit, sits enthroned in all of his glory. And by the leadership of our great high priest, we're able to enter into this place and cry out for mercy. And the scriptures I've already quoted say, "None who come to me will I cast out." Oh, won't you come? Won't you come? It's that easy. It don't look easy, Pastor. You're turning red, your veins are popping, you're sweating a little bit. Oh, it's easy. I'm just excited that I get to go. I'm excited I get to go. I can't help but get loud when I get an opportunity to talk about my great high priest who's led me all the way to glory and will lead me all the way home. And when I die, I'm not gone anywhere other than, I am. I'm not ended. I'm not over with. I'm not suffering under the wrath that I'm very, very deserving of. No, I'll get to hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter my rest." What I've longed for all my life and what you long for too. Don't you want rest? Don't you? Aren't you tired? Aren't you tired of carrying the weight of your sin? I'm not talking about tired of work. We all get tired of work. I'm not talking about tired from a lack of sleep. We all have that. I'm talking about tired of the weight of my sin that crushes me. Do I experience that still? You better believe I do. I said some dumb stuff just yesterday. It has burned me since I said it. I don't even know if anybody heard me. I'm hoping they didn't. I brought it to God, and I believe he gives me rest. I confessed it, Lord. I said some things just out of line. They weren't bad. You would probably laugh, but it hurt my heart because I was afraid somebody might have heard it and thought I had something bad to say about them. I don't even know them. Wasn't that? That's how I know I have a high priest, because he confronts me in my sin, but then he intercedes for me as I cry out to him. It's a beautiful thing. I want you all to have it. Again, it's simple. Call out. We can, with confidence, I got to get that momentum back, draw near to the throne of grace, the place where the King of grace, the one who meets it out as he sees fit, sits enthroned in all his glory. Why can we with confidence come? Because we've received it, the permission. We've not earned it. Again, simple message. Salvation is to be received and not earned. We have received and not earned mercy. Not justice, thank God. He's merciful. We have received mercy that we may find grace to help in a time of need. Beautiful text. Three short verses saturated with the gospel and the hope of eternity. If you do not have Christ as your great high priest, you're at your greatest time of need right now. Just as the scripture has said time and again in the last chapter, and we'll hear it again, today is a day of salvation. Call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord. If you're in the midst of the struggle of your life, call upon the name of the Lord. Your great high priest knows the feeling so much that he sweat drops of blood on your behalf as he wept in the garden. And he's full of mercy and grace to help you in your time of need. Today is a day of freedom for you. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Father, what it is to have a great high priest that is the Son of God, Jesus the Christ. Lord, for a couple of weeks you have burdened me that there's someone here that don't know that. I trust you to convict. I trust you to give them the strength to move toward Christ. Should it be, Father, you desire them to make it known to us in the church, would you give them the confidence to come boldly and declare Jesus Christ as their great high priest, their Savior? Father, would you move amongst us today and bring about repentance for sin that is in the life of those who have known you a long time yet are harboring frustration or anger or whatever it may be. Would today be a great day of salvation for the lost and a great day of renewal for those who have gone wayward? Just as I was reminded of the prodigal son. As he approached, the father ran and met him, threw his arms around him, called for the slaughter of the fatty calf, a robe for his back, and a ring for his finger, and sandals for his feet, clothed in righteousness because of the mercy and grace and love of the Father. Lord, we know that today before we leave this place. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion.